I'm going to read this morning from John's Gospel, chapter 6, please. The Gospel of John, and it's chapter number 6. The Gospel of John, please. Chapter number 6. We're reading the word of the Lord from verse number 1. John 6 and verse number 1. A very familiar portion of Scripture. We find ourselves thinking upon it again and again. There's always a challenge and also a word of encouragement from these verses in John 6. We'll read from verse number 1 down to verse 14. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread, that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to his disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. We know the Lord will bless this public reading of this familiar portion of his own precious and inspired word. We're turning to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Want to think about verse number 9, the opening words of the verse. Just simply state the words of Andrew the disciple to the Lord Jesus Christ. Andrew was a little bit skeptical of this little boy who had come with his lunch just to present it unto the Lord. But he makes a statement and he just quite simply says, There is a lad here. And I just want very simply to speak about this young lad who gave the Lord everything that he had in his hand, and the Lord used it to fill the multitudes. There is a lad here. And I wonder this morning, will God find a lad here, or even a young woman or a young girl that will stand out from the crowd and just give God their all? I just want to speak very simply upon this text. There is a lad here. Let's pray together for the Lord's help as we think about this young lad. Our loving God and our Father in heaven, we thank Thee that, Lord, Thou art a God who uses individuals. And we thank Thee, Father God, that it's not talent or ability that You're looking for, or training or anything like that. We thank Thee that Thou art a God who uses people who are willing and who are consecrated and who just have a desire to serve the Lord. And Father God, we pray that as Thou didst find a lad who was willing here in John chapter 6, that Father God, even out of this congregation, even here this morning, that Lord, it would please Thee, O God, to find a lad or a young woman who will serve the Lord with all of their heart. So Father, hear and answer prayer. I pray for Thy help and for Thine anointing as we bring some very simple thoughts from Thy word. We pray, Lord, that Thou will take full control. And we pray, Lord, that our hearts, O God, would rise to the challenge of Thy truth. And Lord, we pray that even as a result of this meeting this morning, that Lord God, multitudes in this locality might be filled with all the blessings that God can give, even through an human instrument surrendered to the will of God here today. Father, answer prayer. We ask these things in the Saviour's name and for God's everlasting glory. Amen. Whenever you begin to read the Bible, whether it's in the Old Testament or the New, you soon become convinced that the God of heaven is looking for individuals whom He can use to fulfill His eternal purposes. And the most encouraging thing of all is that so often God uses the most unlikely of people. And He finds them in the most unlikely of places. And He just takes them up and uses them for His honour and for His glory. This thought is brought out many times in Scripture, not least whenever Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, and in 1 Corinthians, he said this in verse 27, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence." And this truth is seen very, very clearly in John's account of the Lord here feeding the multitudes. You see, John includes a very short and small detail that Matthew, Mark and Luke omit in their account of the Lord feeding the multitude of people. And this detail is given for us in John chapter 6 and verse 9. And it speaks of the source through which the two fish and the five loaves were brought to the feet of the Master. And it just speaks about a lad. There is a lad here. Now, we're not told very much about this lad. We're not told where he came from. We're not told what age he was. We are not told what his name was. We are not told what tribe he belonged to. All we are told is that there was a lad who was standing beside Andrew in the presence of the Lord, and in his hand he had two fish, and in his other hand he had five loaves. And he just gave it all to the Lord. You know, humanly speaking, I wonder what would have happened if this lad hadn't been there. Or if this lad wasn't willing to give what he had to the Lord. I know that the Lord is not bound by men, but the Lord uses men. And I know that the Lord could have done anything he so desired to feed that multitude. He could have filled them with air if he wanted. But the Lord does use means, and the Lord does use men. And the Lord does employ methods. And in this case, it's just a little boy with his lunch. My prayer this morning is that God here this morning in this church will find a lad or a young person, boy or girl, who will rise to the challenge and under God will be used to reach multitudes within this locality. A young person perhaps who will stand up and say, I'm going to give myself to God. I'll join this church. I'll serve God here. I'll do whatever God wants me to do. And I'll give God what I've got. It might not be much. It might be despised in the eyes of the world. It might be weak. It might be insignificant. But if God can use it, God's got it. I wonder, will God find a lad here this morning? I just want to say some very simple things about this lad. First of all, I want to mention something about his vision. This lad could see everything that the multitudes could see on a human level. But with the eye of faith, he saw much more than the average person saw. He even saw more than the disciples saw. First of all, this lad saw a large and a hungry crowd. I think everybody else that was there could see that. The Lord could see it. The 12 disciples could see it. And every individual within the crowd could see it as well. It was just naked. It was open before them. And this lad saw a large and a hungry crowd. It tells us at the end of verse number 10 that the men sat down in number about 5,000. Now that's just speaking about the men. It's not taking into account there the women and the children that were there as well. If we just take it as it is, there could have been well over 10,000 people there that day. And this little boy looked around and he realized, and he heard what the disciples were saying. He must have been close enough to Andrew and to Philip and to the Lord as they were talking. And he began to realize this crowd is hungry. He was hungry himself. I don't believe the Lord was a man that was a short-winded preacher, as we would say. I believe he was there for quite some time because by the time he'd finished speaking, the people were hungry. And this wee boy was just about to open his lunch. And then he looked around and he realized that most of the people in the crowd, in fact, all of the people in the crowd, hadn't come prepared the way he had. And they were hungry. And so there was a large crowd, thousands of people, and there was a great need. They were empty inside. They were dissatisfied. They needed something to fill them. In a sense, they were starving. And I wonder, can anybody, as they look out at the multitudes around this community, can anybody see the same thing? Or do we just see crowds of people? But behind the face and behind the physical realm, there's something inside that needs to be met. There's a hunger, there's a thirst, there's a desire. And this little boy could see that. So many other people perhaps couldn't. Jeremiah, the great prophet of God, saw it. He wrote in Lamentations chapter 2, verse number 19, Arise, cry out in the night. In the beginning of the watches, pour out thine heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift up thy hands toward him for the life of the young children that faint for hunger in the top of every street. Folks, that could be said of Coleraine. There's children in this locality. There's children in Ballysally. There's children in Harper's Hill. There's children in Milburn. There's children in Windy Hall. There's children in the Heights. There's children all across this town. Young children that are fainting for hunger at the top of every street. I was in a couple of schools during the week, and one of the schools I was in before the assembly started, the headmaster was saying, you know, well over half of the children come here have subsidised meals in this school. Families they come from can't afford to give them their lunch, so the school has to apply for a grant and get that covered. He said over 18% of parents that bring their children to this school are known to social services because of problems within the home. That's just one school, folks, in Coleraine. And there's a great need. But far beyond the physical need and far beyond the human need, there's that spiritual need. Do you remember how the Lord said to his disciples in John 4:35, lift up your eyes, look in the fields? Why did he say that? Because they weren't looking. They couldn't see that all around about them, more than just the grain and the wheat and the tares and the fields, there was a greater harvest and they couldn't see it. And so the Lord pointed to the multitudes and he says, lift up your eyes. Look in the fields, they're white already to harvest. There are people here, and if they're not saved, if they're not won, if they're not reached, they'll be lost forever, and so you need to lift up your eyes. This little boy lifted up his eyes, and he saw a hungry multitude. Many of us today, if we're honest, we suffer from ingrowing eyeballs, don't we? We always look at our own circumstances. How can I be more happy? How can I have more of this, and how can I have more of that? Doesn't matter about the perishing multitudes. This little boy could see a hungry crowd. This little boy could see an almighty Saviour. He looked at the crowd, but in the midst of the crowd there was one man, and this little boy knew that this man was different. There were things that everybody else could see. Everybody else could see a great teacher. This little boy saw a miracle worker. Everybody else saw a man that had 12 followers. This little boy saw the almighty God of heaven. Just a lad. I don't know if he was a theologian or not. I don't know if he embraced the 5 points of Calvinism. I don't know what his view was in the last days and the Lord's return, but he did know that there was one man in this crowd who was almighty. And he looked at this Savior and he saw, well, if there's anybody that can meet the needs of this crowd, it's that man there. That man that has just been speaking, because this little boy knew that he was a miracle worker. Tells us that in verse number 2. A great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles. And perhaps this little boy had seen the Lord do something mighty before. And he says, well, if the Lord's done it before, the Lord can do something mighty again. Let me challenge us all this morning. What do we see whenever we look at Jesus in Scripture? Whenever we see the Lord Jesus Christ as he's recorded in Scripture, do we see a Saviour that can save from all sin? I trust we do. But more than that, do we see one who is a miracle worker? Do we see one who is almighty? One who is sufficient to meet the needs of the masses? This little boy saw a starving multitude. He saw an almighty Saviour. But he also saw his meagre lunch. I can just see this little boy standing and the cogs turning round in his mind, and he looks at the crowd and then he looks at the Saviour and then he begins to look around and he sees his wee piece. I don't know if they talk about pieces, piece boxes over there in Israel, but this little lad, he had his piece with him. And he looked down and he saw his lunch. You know, I believe this boy had a loving mother. 2 fish and 5 loaves isn't very much, but I'll tell you, it's enough to feed one small boy. She cared about her son. She didn't want him to go hungry, and I can just see this old lady just packing up his little lunch and putting the little loaves side by side and wrapping them up in a cloth, and then the fish, and wrapping it up in a little bundle, and the little boy putting it under his arm and going off to the big meeting. 2 fish and 5 loaves. Plenty for just one, but certainly not enough for about 10,000 people. Whenever I went to school, my mother used to make me my lunch. I never had school dinners, but she used to give me a lunchbox. And there were two corned beef sandwiches. That's what she used to call them. Corned beef. But for some reason, that generation called it corned beef. Maybe a slice of cheese. And a little carton of juice. I can remember one time in P3, I went to get my lunch and I opened the lunchbox and all that was left was a slice of cheese because I had been misbehaving in school and I'd got put beside this girl in the class and had to sit beside her, and you know what it's like at that age, and a little boy sitting beside a girl, and they're the two sort of upstarts in the class, and I looked around to get my lunch and she had eaten my two corned beef sandwiches and I had to go hungry. This little boy didn't do very much, sure he didn't. But you know, little is much when God is in it. Labour not for wealth or fame. There is a crown, and you can win it. If you go in Jesus' name. I see a little boy who had good vision. I also see a little boy who had got faith. Andrew came along and he said, "There is a lad here. Not somewhere over there, but right here, Lord, there's a lad." You see, this little boy had wound his way through the crowd right up to the feet of the Lord because he had faith to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ could do the impossible. With him and with his little lunch. Oh, there was a great need, but between him and that great multitude, between him and the great need, he saw the Lord. That's the right way to get it. Sometimes we put our circumstances between us and the Lord and then we get discouraged. But this little boy put the Lord between him and his circumstances. Many people would have said, you know, the need is just so great. We shouldn't even try to meet it. We should just send these people away and just get rid of them because we'll never be able to meet the needs of these people. But this little boy, he knew that he couldn't meet the need. He knew that his lunch couldn't meet the need, but he knew that the Lord could. And so he had faith. And his faith was much greater than the 12 Bible students that have been following the Lord now for over 2 years. His faith was greater. He came with his lunch and he came to the Lord, and then Andrew just says, "Well, Lord, you know, he's got two fish and he's got five loaves." And you can almost see this sort of smug or perhaps even a kind of sympathetic face. "Oh, Lord, he's just a lad and sure he's trying his best. But sure, what are these among so many?" No point even trying, is there? It'll only feed one or two growing men and satisfy them. It'll certainly not feed a multitude. But you'll notice in verse number 5, the Lord says to Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Now, the Lord's not confused here because it tells us in verse number 6, "This he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do." The Lord's never taken by surprise. The Lord's never thrown for a loss. The Lord knew that in the crowd there was a lad, and he knew that in the Lord's in the lad's lunchbox there were two fish and five loaves. And the Lord knew all about it. But to prove and to test the faith of one of his disciples, the Lord says, "What should we do? Where shall we get bread? How much money do you have in your pocket?" And they all begin to talk. And Philip says, "Well, 200 pennyworth, we could scrape that together. But sure, that's not enough to buy bread, to even satisfy some of them." And Philip gives this answer. And you know, his answer is bang on. It's right. 200 pennyworth isn't enough. Didn't have enough money. Didn't have enough resources to meet the need. And you know, we're foolish if we think we'll ever be able to keep up with the world. I think it's such a foolish thing to try and impress the world with worldly methods, because we will never have the same resources that the world has. We'll never have the same amount of money that the world has. We'll never have the same resources and the same things to entertain people that the world has. And you know, Philip was absolutely right. But they forgot that they had Almighty God. And one or two with God is a majority. I wonder this morning, do you believe that God can perform a miracle through you? Do you have the faith, friend, to believe that? You say, "Well, I've never been to Bible college." Doesn't matter. You say, there's many things in the Bible I don't understand. It doesn't matter. You say, I'm scared that people might ask me questions if I go and witness. Well, that's fine. They'll ask me questions too, and there's lots of questions preachers can't answer. It doesn't matter. But do you believe that God can do the work? This little boy had vision. He had good faith. And then you'll see his sacrifice. You know, I have to be honest. I don't know just how much he knew or how much he believed. I don't know if he knew that the Lord would be able to feed every single person within that crowd. I don't know how far he expected his lunch to go, but I know this, he was willing to say goodbye to it. I believe this little boy was willing to go hungry. I believe this little boy was willing to give the Lord the two fish and all five loaves, and he wasn't expecting to get it back. He wasn't in this for a return. He wasn't in this for a profit or for remuneration. This little boy was just willing to deny himself. And that's the heart of a true Christian. The Lord Jesus Christ said in Luke 9:23 that we must take up the cross. And we must deny ourselves and we must follow him. Now, we don't really know much about denial in these days, do we? How often do we deny ourselves a couple of extra hours in bed for the sake of going to an early morning prayer meeting? How often do we deny ourselves a couple of hours in front of television on a Tuesday night to go to a prayer meeting? How often do we deny ourselves maybe an hour during the week, once every couple of weeks, to give out some gospel tracts round the doors? How often do we deny ourselves a couple of hours, maybe at the most, on a Monday night or a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night, to go around the community and try and get children in under the sound of the word? Denial. Sacrifice. I was just saying to somebody the other day, you know, whenever you read the book of Acts, and you read about the New Testament church, and you read about people that sacrifice their sleep, they sacrifice their food, they sacrifice their money, they sacrifice their time, they sacrifice their lives, they gave themselves to a martyr's death, that was the New Testament church. And then you look at the church in Northern Ireland, and I find it very difficult to reconcile the two. It seems that they're as far apart as heaven is from hell. New Testament believers were willing to die for Christ. Believers in the 21st century in Ulster are not willing to live for Christ. And yet the Bible says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I used to love whenever Woolworths was open. You used to be able to go in with a little pink paper bag and a shovel, and you'd go around all the little boxes, pick and mix, they called it. And you could just go around, and that's why I have so many fillings, because I was always in the sweet shops. And you could open one latch, and if you liked those, you could put them in the bag, and if you didn't like the next one, well, you could just move by that. And people treat Christianity exactly the same. Heaven, that sounds good, I'll have that. Oh, somebody to help me through my trials, I'll have that. Sacrifice? No, I don't know about that. Prayer meetings? No, I don't know about that. No, I'll just move by that. Christianity is not a pick and mix religion. It's all or nothing. If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. And this little boy was willing to sacrifice for the sake of the Lord, for the extension of his kingdom, and for the masses. I see a little boy who had vision, who had faith, who was willing to sacrifice, and also a little boy who was willing to consecrate everything. You know, I would say if I was this little boy, and if I even got close to the Lord, close enough to give the Lord something, I would be looking at my lunch and I'd be saying, well, I've got two fishes, and I've got five loaves. What can I spare? What can I do without? Well, I'll give the Lord one fish, and I'll give the Lord three loaves, and that'll leave something for me. And so you give over a little bit. And then the Lord looks back, and the Lord looks at what I've got left. And okay, well, Maybe I'll give him another half fish and I'll give him another loaf, but I need something for myself, just in case it doesn't work. And so we hold back, just in case God can't do what God says he will do. So I'll hold back. And we're not willing to risk it all in the Lord. I wonder this morning, have you given the Lord your last loaf? I wonder, are you willing this morning to give the Lord your final fish? And just say, well, Lord, you know, I have got something. I've been holding it back. And Lord, you put your finger on it again and again and again and again. And Lord, I know what it is and you know what it is. And Lord, I know it. Lord, take it. All it's doing is holding me back. You see, there's something about whenever God has got everything, you can rest content that now the Lord's in control. I've stepped out of the driving seat. And I'm not even in the passenger seat anymore. I'm not even in the back seat telling the Lord how to drive. I'm in the boot, bound and gagged, and the Lord's in full control, and the Lord can just do whatever he likes. The Lord's got it all. The Lord's got two loaves, and the Lord's got five fish. The Lord's got all of my lunch. You see, friends, this is how it works. David asked the people of his day in 1 Chronicles 29:5, who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? There's a lad here that was. I wonder, is there a lad here this morning that's willing? D.L. Moody, as a young boy, sat at the back of a Sunday school meeting. The preacher stood up and he said this, God has yet to see what he can do with one individual fully surrendered to him. The little boy at the back of the Sunday school class says, if God gives me the grace, I will be that boy. There was a lad in that meeting. I wonder, is there a lad here this morning? These old challenges concerning surrender, sacrifice and consecration are almost something that are part of a lost generation, a generation that is gone. Now Christianity has come and get everything you can, but there's never a call to give. This little boy was willing to give. Sacrifice, consecration, faith, vision, loneliness. Listen to what Andrew said. He said, there is a lad here. He didn't say, well, Lord, you know, there's a group of young people over here. There must be about 50 or 60 of them. And, you know, they're all on fire for God. No, there's just one. Out of thousands, there's just one. What an indictment that was. Just one. Just one out of the multitude. One. Almost we could say one in a million. There was one lad, just one, who will give his all, put it on God's altar, step back and leave it there and say, that's where it's going to stay. Just one. You know, I don't know whether it's a lack of faith or not, but I know for me that whenever I come to any meeting, regardless of how many people are there, I'm just looking for ones and twos. Because I know that generally speaking, multitudes of God's people don't want to go through for God. But if you can find just one who will, then that's something special, isn't it? You see, anybody could jump on the bandwagon whenever everybody's coming forward and giving their lunch. Well, I'll give mine too. This is the thing everybody's doing. All the Christians are giving their lunch. Well, I suppose I'll give mine as well. But whenever nobody else wants to give anything, it's a little bit difficult. Well, sure, nobody else is giving. Nobody else rises to the challenge of fasting and prayer and consecration. But this little boy, he didn't really look around and say, well, who's going to come with me? He just saw the Lord, he saw the need, and he saw what he had, and he just went forward and says, this is what I'm going to do. Just on his own. And I think this is so often the way in Scripture, isn't it? Don't we always point the finger at Peter when he sank in the water? Oh, Peter got his eyes off the Lord. Oh, Peter began to sink. Boys and girls, keep your eyes on the Lord. Don't be like Peter and don't get your eyes off the Lord. Don't be a failure. Keep your eyes on the Lord. But you know something? Peter was the only fellow that threw his leg over the side of the boat. Everybody else was sitting in the boat pointing the finger at Peter whenever he began to sink. But he did walk on the water. What about Abraham? He was going to take his firstborn, his son Isaac, the child of the covenant, sacrifice him upon Mount Moriah. What did he say to his two servants? Abide ye here with the ass. I and the lad were going to go up there and worship. I didn't see too many other people getting thrown into the den of lions with old Daniel. Nobody else wanted to pray three times a day with their windows open. I didn't see too many people running and tugging at the coattails of Elijah whenever he went to stand on Mount Carmel. I didn't see too many people helping David carry the stones as he went to fight Goliath. No, they had to go on their own. Seems this little lad, he didn't really care much for popularity. And sadly, he was misunderstood by even the Lord's disciples. You know, Andrew just seems to be embarrassed. This little boy seems to come over to Andrew and says, you know, maybe the Lord could use what I've got. No, son, it's okay. That'll never work. Just you go and sit down where you were. But you know, I really think the Lord could use this. Just take me to the Master. No, just go and sit down, son. Look at the multitudes. Your mum has given you that lunch, that's for you. That'll fill your belly, but there's thousands of people here. Listen, will you please just take me to the Lord? Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. And so begrudgingly, Andrew comes up to the Lord. He says to the little boy, you just stand there and wait. And he goes over to the Lord and he says, Master, there's a wee fellow over here. I don't know what his name is, but he's got two fish and five loaves and he's pestering the life out of me. What are they among so many? Could you just tell him to go and sit down, mind his own business? Just an inconvenience, wasn't he? But I'll tell you something, he was a blessing. He was a blessing. Because Jesus said to Andrew, look, he didn't even rise to Andrew, he just says, make the men sit down. Tell everybody to sit down in the crowd. And so the disciples go around, everybody begins to sit down, and Jesus took the loaves. He didn't despise his offering, and he took the fish, and it says there, when he had given thanks, or as it's recorded over there in Matthew 14, he blessed it. He blessed it. The Lord was blessed through what this little boy could give. And he gave thanks publicly before a crowd of thousands for two fish and for five loaves. You know, the Lord created all things ex nihilo out of nothing. He could have pulled fish out of the air and loaves out of his pockets and out of his sleeves and he could have done whatever he liked, but he just thanked God for two fish and five loaves that came out of a little boy's satchel. And he publicly thanked his father for what this boy could give. I wonder this morning, will there be rejoicing amongst the angels of heaven over one that will come and say, I'll give the Lord my all. And I wonder, will the Lord in glory turn round to his father and will say, thank you, Father, for the life of this faithful servant that's willing to give his all. Or willing to give her all. Tells us in Matthew 14, verse 19, that he broke it. And it's often broken things that God uses. Broken hearts. Tear ducts that are broken. Spirits that are crushed under God as we look at a world that is lost. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. There was a lad here with vision, with faith, consecration, sacrifice, loneliness, who was a blessing to his master. But lastly and in closing, he got back more than he gave. This wasn't his motive, but it happened to fall out this way. He got back more than he gave, and you always do with the Lord. You cannot outgive God. God's buckets are bigger than yours. God's pockets are deeper than yours. You see, it says in verse 13 that they filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the five barley loaves. This wee boy could carry his lunchbox to that mountainside, but I don't think he could have carried 12 baskets all the way home. He could take as much home as he wanted, as much as he could carry. It was a miracle, you see. God did a miracle through his life, but above and beyond the physical, there was always the knowledge from that day until the day that he would go to be with the Lord, that the Lord used me. In some way, the Lord just took what I had. It wasn't because of who I was. It wasn't because of my ability. But nevertheless, the Lord just took it, and the Lord used it. You know, there was an old Sunday school teacher years ago who sat down with her class. You know what she said? She says, you know, boys and girls, we're not to take this story literally. Really, this just means that the Lord fed the people spiritually with his teaching, and that's why they were filled. And a little girl says, well, is that true? Do you mean that there weren't really two fish or five loaves? She says, I don't think so. And the little girl says, well, where did the 12 baskets of leftovers come from? What's that mean? And the Sunday school teacher was left scratching her head and flicking through her Bible as everybody left her class. It was real, folks. And you know, today God is real. And I wonder, is there a lad here? Years ago, there was an old Church of Scotland minister. Oh, he was an old man. He'd been in the same church for years. And to be honest, his congregation were, well, they were kind of tired of him because he hadn't really seen the church built up very well. People, in fact, had, the old saints had died. Lots of other people had left. And he just didn't really have a very thriving church. One day his deacons called him in and his elders, and they sat down and they wanted him to give a little review of what had happened over recent years. And they said, as many souls have you won to the Lord, Pastor, over the last number of years? Pastor was kind of embarrassed and he says, well, you know, not really very many, just one. Little boy called Robert. And this little boy didn't come from a very privileged home, and under this man's ministry, this little boy came to the Lord, and the old minister loved him and just brought him under his wing and taught him everything that he knew. And little Robert just began to walk with God. Whenever Robert became a man, he went to Africa. One of the first pioneer missionaries, his name was Robert Moffat, great Scottish missionary. Whenever Robert Moffat was an old man, he was preaching in a meeting, calling young people to give their all to God. At the back of that service, there was another little boy. His name was David. David sat and listened to the old man Robert telling about his adventures in the mission field. And little David said, I'm going to give my all to the Lord. His name was David Livingstone. The national church was embarrassed about this ruthless renegade who was going across to the continent of Africa to try and reach the heathen for Christ. Didn't really want to support him or know much about him. David Livingstone died in Africa. But by the time he died, he was quite a famous man, not just for his missionary endeavors, but also for his exploration into deepest and darkest Africa. And so the Church of England in Westminster Abbey, they said, bring home the body of David Livingstone. We want to venerate and exonerate this man. We want to bury him in Westminster Abbey. And so they brought his body back. But before his body was shipped back to Africa, African natives, they went and they found the casket where David Livingstone's body lay. They broke it open and with a knife they cut out his heart. And they buried it underneath a tree in Africa. And you can go to Westminster Abbey today and there's a bronze plate on the floor somewhere. And it says, underneath lies the remains of David Livingstone, pioneer missionary to inland Africa, great explorer and ambassador for the faith and so on. But you know, for years, in an unknown location in Africa, there was a little wooden sign that hung in a tree. It said, here lies the heart of David Livingstone. His body lies in England, but his heart is still in Africa. All because one time, hundreds of years before, there was
a little boy called Robert said, I'm going to give to God what I've got. I wonder, is there a lad here who will give your two fish and your five loaves? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for Thy truth. We thank Thee, Lord, for an almighty Saviour who uses weak instruments and weak vessels. Pray, Lord, that Thou will take everything that we are and have. Use it, Lord, for Thy glory. Pray, Lord, that right now Thy Spirit will work in the heart of people in this congregation, Lord, young or old, gifted or no gifts at all, wealthy or poor, Lord, it doesn't matter. But Lord, we pray that Thou wilt take our hearts and let them be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Answer prayer, we ask it in the Saviour's name.